Welcome to Savage Services. This is just my next in a series of sermonettes on comparative religion. And what does the Bible say about who you will be married to in the next life? One group feels that you will still be in a marriage relationship with your spouse for all eternity. I'm going to read from their own literature what they say about this. We believe that we existed before this life and lived with God. We believe that this life is a testing period where we can prove our devotion to God. Central to God's plan for His children is the family. Those who are faithful in mortality are blessed and to live with God, Jesus, and their families for eternity. This is the doctrine of eternal families. Celestial marriage, also called the new and everlasting covenant of marriage, eternal marriage, temple marriage, or the principle, is a doctrine of Mormonism, particularly the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and some other branches of Mormon fundamentalism. Within the LDS Church, celestial marriage is an ordinance associated with a covenant that takes place inside temples by those authorized to hold the sealing power. The only people allowed to enter the temple, to be married there, or even to attend these weddings, are those who hold an official temple recommend. Obtaining a temple recommend requires one to abide by LDS Church doctrine and be considered worthy by their bishop and state president. A prerequisite to contracting a celestial marriage, in addition to obtaining a temple recommend, involves undergoing the temple endowment, which involves making a certain covenant with God. In particular, one is expected to promise to be obedient to all the Lord's commandments, including living a clean, chaste life, abstaining oneself from any impure thing, willing to sacrifice and consecrate all that one has for the Lord. If required, in the marriage ceremony, a man and a woman makes covenants to God and to each other, and are said to be sealed as husband and wife for all time and all eternity. They cite Matthew 16:19 and Matthew 18:18 to support this belief. We'll turn to those scriptures later. In the LDS Church, both men and women can enter into a celestial marriage, but if a man's wife dies, he can marry again and be sealed to more than one wife for all eternity. In 1998, this became the doctrine for women too. Of course, I guess it could be a little complex. A man whose wife dies marries a woman whose husband died. In Matthew 22, verses 28 to 30, where Jesus said people would neither marry or be given in marriage, they interpret that to mean that no marriages will take place after the resurrection, because all marriages will be sealed prior to that time. Mortals can seal a marriage by proxy to somebody who has died if it was not done prior to death. So, can you imagine being resurrected and finding out the person you were with was a complete jerk? He sealed you in proxy. Following a celestial marriage, not only are the couple sealed as husband and wife, but children born into the union are also sealed to that family. In cases of previous marriages where children already exist, the children accompany the parents to the temple and are sealed to their parents following the marriage ceremony. They believe once they are sealed, they will live together forever as a family, if they remain obedient to the commandments. There is a difference in how prior marriages, ceilings, are handled based on gender. A man does not need to have a prior marriage ceiling to a former wife canceled. He can be sealed to a new wife for time and eternity in any temple without this procedural barrier. A woman must have any prior marriage ceiling canceled before she can be married and sealed to another man in the temple. Therefore, instead of a temple marriage ceiling being canceled when a couple legally divorces, it is sought when the woman seeks a new temple marriage ceiling. The LDS Church teaches that at the end of the world, everyone will be resurrected. They also believe that almost everyone will go to heaven, which is divided up into three main levels. Bad people go to the lowest, the celestial kingdom. Good people, who are not Mormons, will go to the middle level, the terrestrial kingdom, and of course Mormons will go to the highest level, the celestial kingdom. These are called out in their doctrines and covenants. However, only those who merit the highest part of the celestial kingdom will have eternal life, which they interpret to mean the ability to live in a marriage relationship and continue to begot children. All others have immortality, which is defined as the ability to live forever in a single condition, not married, and no future children, but do not have eternal life, which is kind of contradictory. If you're immortal, how do you not have eternal life? One must be married in the LDS temple and then obey all Mormon regulations to get to the highest degree of heaven. The first time a Mormon attends the temple endowment ceremony, he or she will be given a new name, usually a Bible name like Peter or Mary, or a name of European royalty. These will be their names in eternity. The wife must tell her husband her new name and no one else, and ask, he is supposed to call her up by that name in the resurrection. A Mormon woman can only attain the celestial kingdom by having her husband call her secret name through the veil and being sealed to him. And at that time, they will then become as God is. He creates worlds without number with billions of spirits. Who's going to create these spirit children? Mormon doctrine states that sealed celestial married men and women will live eternally in the family, unit, and have spirit children, thus becoming eternal fathers and eternal mothers. If he does not call her up, she would still resurrect, but she would not be his wife. She will not be part of him begetting his own celestial kingdom. And not in the highest level of heaven either. We'll now turn to Matthew 16:19 to see what it says. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Which in that I don't see where it says in this verse that a man can decide if his wife will be in the highest level of heaven based on what he wants. What better way to control the woman wishing to please God than have her husband always remind her that he has control over her destiny? Matthew 18:18 is basically the same thing. It says, assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. But let's continue in verses 19 and 20. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be there in the midst of them. This is talking about getting together in the here and now to seek the will of God, like we are right now. It's not about some future happening, you know, that determines the fate of your life. Galatians 3:28 and 29. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Verse 29. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You don't need to turn to this one. I will read this one to you. Matthew 22, verses 23 through 30. The same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses says that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married, having no offspring. Left his wife with his brother, likewise the second, also the third, even the seventh. Last of all, the woman dies also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife will the set? Of the seven will she be, for they all had her. Jesus answered and said to them, You are mistaken not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For the resurrection, they neither marry nor give in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. These verses make clear the promise applies equally to men and women. And they will not engage in any kind of intercourse to produce more children through eternity. Angels do not procreate. There is clearly just another doctrine of men. Not based on any scriptural teaching. You do not find in the Bible that procreation will continue in the next life where there is neither male or female. You do not find where one human has the power over another to determine the fate or the status of the next life. That power is reserved for God, who has absolute understanding of the heart. This doctrine is trying to place men in the role of Christ and his bride, a church that has made herself ready, which is the only marriage lasting through eternity.